Good evening, welcome to Friday's Sport at 7. Lunchtime tomorrow we'll see the meeting of Wales and Ireland open this year's RBS Six Nations. We'll be live to Cardiff in just a moment to measure what might lie in store. Dermot O'Sullivan reacts to Donal O'Cusack's absence from Jimmy Barry Murphy's Cork hurling panel. Brian Carthy and Collie Moran will chat football ahead of the start of the National Football League. We'll also have a regular Friday night racing with Liam Nash. Sport at 7 at rte.ie is our email address. You can tweet us at RTE Sport at 7. By text from Northern Ireland, send the word studio followed by your message to 80889. From the Republic, our number 51551. And a very good evening from Damien O'Mara. It's a special programme for us tonight because after about 3.5 years on air here on Radio 1, we bid farewell to Sport at 7 tonight. We moved to 2FM, nightly sports radio on RTE Radio, moves to 2FM from Monday evening. So game on, 7 o'clock on 2FM next Monday. Hope you'll join us for that. Hope you'll stay with us between now and 7:30. We've plenty to chat about. Would be particularly interested in hearing your views on the weekend's RBS Six Nations action, what you expect from Ireland against Wales tomorrow. And Gaelic Games fans, your views on that story from Cork and Donal O'Cusack. We'll hear the views of Dermot O'Sullivan on that in just a couple of minutes' time. But we will begin with the weekend that's in it with rugby, where both the Irish and Welsh teams are most likely tucked up in their bases tonight ahead of the start of the Six Nations in Cardiff tomorrow. The Grand Slam champions from last year entertain Ireland at the Millennium Stadium. Kick-off is at 1:30, a game you will hear live here on RTE Radio 1. We'll chat to Michael Corcoran from Cardiff in just a moment. Before we do, let's hear from both camps. And first, the Irish captain Jamie Heaslip on what has fast become Ireland's big rugby rivalry.
It's turned into a real good local derby at times, you know. The Irish and Welsh teams playing the same domestic league, and you know, so we know them really well that way, and then it gets, you know, elevated at the national level, like, and they've had the bragging rights for the last 3 times, and you know, I know just from their fans, like, they've got amazing fans, and we've got fantastic fans as well. I think we have the best fans in the world, just the way they travel and kind of conduct themselves. The Welsh and the Irish get on really well, and just that banter on and off the pitch, away from it, you know, everything just creates a real good cauldron to play a game in, and no better stadium than the Millennium to host it. And you know, the last 3 times, you know, they've punished it, the mistakes we've made, they've punished us. You know, you look at the semi-final, 2 mistakes defensively, 2 tries, you know, and then they grind the game out. We're leading, what, 12 points last year, and 2 mistakes, 2 tries, and then they get a penalty in the last minute to kick it when we all of a sudden decide to go a little bit soft in defence and let them win that game line. So these are all hard lessons learned. You know, that experience is parked, it's noted, but we're just focused on Saturday, what we are going to do. We know their threats, and we've addressed that defensively, but we're quite focused on us.
Jamie Heaslip there. His opposite number in terms of captaincy tomorrow is Sam Warburton.
The Irish games I've been involved in the last 3 or 4 fixtures have been, you know, really exciting encounters. Some of them have been quite controversial, but they're always entertaining matches. You know, the players know each other quite well, as do the teams and coaches. You know, you come up against each other in the Rabo League as well, so you know, they're always great games of playing, and to kick that off with the first week is a great way for us to start the competition.
What's the mood like within the camp?
The mood's very good at the camp. You know, the last 7 games which we've played, particularly against Australia, you know, most of those have gone within a couple of points, and you know, it just shows the sort of margins between winning and losing in international rugby. And likewise in the Six Nations, when we won, you know, we won a couple of those games, Ireland and England, in the last minute as well. So you know, those games can swing your way sometimes, and other times they go against you. But we've had some good performances in those matches, and we can take a lot of confidence from that.
Sam Warburton, who will be in action tomorrow, as will be our rugby commentator Michael Corcoran, who joins us from Cardiff. Michael, work done, and as far as is possible of rugby at this level, a clean bill of health.
Yeah, Damien. Obviously, I mean, we've been hearing, you know, over the last couple of weeks about the sort of so-called injury crisis within the Welsh camp. I suppose primarily, to be perfectly honest about it, it's within their within the ranks of their second row players. But to put this in context, you know, just looking back at the Welsh team who won the Grand Slam against France, clinching the Grand Slam against France last year, 12 of the team who started that game are actually starting against Ireland tomorrow at 1:30. So I think there's a kind of a certain problem with some Irish supporters kind of losing the run of themselves, thinking that we're going to, you know, that Wales are decimated. They've lost, you know, Sam said, so many games in a row there, and all Ireland have to do is turn up tomorrow, and you know, give it a lash and we'll win. But, I mean, the reality is if Ireland are going to win tomorrow, it's going to be one hell of a hard task to do. And certainly, you know, you're against a team who won the Grand Slam last year, who made it to the semi-final of the Rugby World Cup, and we're playing them on their own patch where we haven't, you know, and we've lost our last three against them. But we're eternal optimists as always. But I see, looking at, you know, checking to see what the bookies are talking about and some respected other pundits are talking about and people over here are siding towards a Wales victory.
But it's going to tell an awful lot about the reality of where both sides are at. You mentioned those seven losses in a row starting back in Brisbane in June against Australia for Wales. You don't go from being Grand Slam champions to being a team of deadbeats in such a space of time. But equally, Ireland's performance against Argentina in the November series has generated quite a sense of optimism, but yet we forget that at the time we were talking about an Argentinian team who were very, very tired after an awful lot of rugby.
Yeah, and again, to put that in perspective, if you look at it, I mean, 2 weeks previous to that, and I'm not trying to, you know, be souring anything here, but I mean, 2 weeks previous to that, we played against South Africa and we weren't great in that game. The fact that Declan Kidney included some of the younger players. I'm speaking specifically about, you know, the likes of Craig Gilroy and Simon Zeebo. I think we've got a massively exciting back three, you know, with Rob Kearney at full back, Gilroy one wing, Zeebo the other wing, and O'Driscoll and Darcy. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic to see Brian O'Driscoll back playing at this level again. And, you know, I mean, we have the excitement of the younger players there, and certainly when you look at the likes of Jonathan Sexton and Conor Murray at halfback, they're beginning to control games and they're kind of maturing into a good international halfback partnership.
Briefly, what impact do you think the absence of Warren Gatland will have on Wales in the Six Nations this year? Or are we in a situation where Rob Howley and his players have been such a part of this system for so long that it's just a case of one man steps out, one other man steps straight in?
Well, it should be that, but, you know, I mean, Warren Gatland, everywhere he's gone, has had an incredible impact, whether, you know, it's after the Irish job, whether it was Wasps or back in Waikato or back here in Wales. Warren Gatland is fantastic, and there's no doubt whatsoever that his mere absence, his absence from the sort of the coaching box tomorrow at the Millennium Stadium for the first time in a head of a long time, there will be an awful lot of pressure on Rob Howley. I mean, he's kind of relatively inexperienced at this level. Wales certainly have had their difficulty injury-wise over the last couple of years, but I mean, the pressure on them is to perform. I mean, the pressure is on Ireland to perform perfectly as well, perfectly honestly as well. Mm. And I mean, this game for both teams is actually key for the remainder of the championship.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. Michael, thanks indeed for joining us. Michael Corcoran there from Cardiff. Coverage of the game as part of an extended Saturday Sport is on air from 1 o'clock. Every game in the Championship live on RTE2 television and the best of analysis and plenty more available on the RTE Sport website, rte.ie/sport. We will talk in a moment about the National Football League, which gets underway this weekend. But before we do that, let's chat about this news from Cork, which emerged late last night and has gathered steam over the course of the day. Donal O'Cusack, a notable absentee from the Cork hurling panel, which has been confirmed by Jimmy Barry Murphy. Donal Oakes, former Cork teammate and certainly still Cloyne clubmate, is Dermot O'Sullivan. Let's hear his reaction. And I suppose clarification somewhat needed on the exact position. Is this a temporary absence, or are we to expect that Donal Oakes' days in the Cork jersey are numbered?
Yeah, there's been a lot of conflicting reports, I suppose, Damien, as the day went on. But, you know, if the wise man was to read between the lines, you know, goalkeeping is a specialist position, really. And, you know, if Donal Oakes was to not partake in any of the National Hurling League campaigns or any games building up to championship, no, you probably, you know, you would have to read between the lines, as I said, and take it as, you know, probably his inter-county career is over.
And that would truly be the end of an era.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, he's been, I suppose, you know, he was nearly the last surviving member of the 99 squad, should we call it, at this stage. Well, he was up to present day. So he was, you know, it would do definitely an end of an era and a change within the Cork ranks.
Is it deserved, though? Are Anthony Nash and Darren McCarthy better goalkeepers when you consider the Achilles injury that Donal has had?
Well, I suppose that's the one thing he will be disappointed over if his career is to finish this way, you know. But when I think back to 99, when he took over from Jer, you know, there's a lot of similarities there. There was a lot of rumblings in the background over the winter that, look, the possibility is Jer might be left out of the squad, you know, to bring in to give the younger fellas a chance. And, you know, Donal Oakes was the guy to benefit from that. And, you know, there's a few similarities. But, you know, Anthony Ash is a good goalkeeper. There's no shadow of a doubt about that. Young Darren McCarthy has a bright future. ahead of him. So maybe Jimmy knows what he's doing, only time will tell.
But it does drastically now change the profile of that panel, and in many ways, does this now throw the gauntlet down to the next generation to say, right, you've been given the jersey, step up and prove you're worthy of it?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, because, you know, as I just refer to it again, the similarities of 99, you know, there's a new starting out there, you know, there's a clear out of the squad, it's a fresh breed of players. Now there's going to be a lot of responsibility and a lot of pressure on those guys, you know, to get Cork hurling back to the top.
But the problem here is that many of us don't know what happened behind closed doors or how this has been handled. But the fact today that prominent players are tweeting about Donal Logue being treated shabbily, that's probably not in the benefit of Cork hurling.
Definitely not, you know, and I'm a bit surprised with some of the players who have come out with some of this stuff today. You know, they should know better. It was only recently, you know, some of them were involved in the Cork squad, and that was bitterly disappointing to see, you know. All right, we, you know, everyone has a good time for Donal Logue Cusack, and we'll all back him, and we, you know, everyone has fierce time for him. But look, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's a management decision, and if this is their decision, you know, it has to be respected one way or another, and give them the opportunity to pick the team going forward as best they see it.
And if Donal Logue is to have finished his time in a Cork jersey, will he be remembered for his prowess as a goalkeeper, maybe his role with the GPA, or will he be remembered for, maybe you've alluded to it there, the part he played in maybe some of the darker or more unsavoury days for Cork?
Yeah, I suppose, look, them darker days are always going to be there. Some people refer to them as dark days. Other people refer to them as bright days that move Cork hurling forward in the county as a whole, you know, and develop this new standard etiquette that is kind of across the board, which filtered down to club level. But look, I suppose the most important thing, Damien, is, you know, the way he will be remembered. He revolutionised the art of goalkeeping in a way, you know, be it from the training point of view, be it from the strategy point of view, from the puck outs. You know, even though there's probably a man over in the West will disagree with that, but, you know, that's the way we see it. You know, he revolutionised the goalkeeping position, and hopefully he'll be remembered for all his better days, more so than the off-field stuff that you know, we all know hangs over his head, that, in fairness, he shouldered a lot of blame over a couple of years for it.
One of the papers has recounted the story today that this means now he'll no longer be calling to your house on Christmas Day when he's out in the middle of a training cycle.
Yeah, exactly, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, that's the man he is. But look, it doesn't finish him. You know, we in Cloyne will benefit hugely from his experience for, you know, having him around the place from the start of the hurling season. Now, you know, he'll be able to be involved in all our games and possibly take on a coaching role. So, you know, all right, his inter-county career might finish, but if it does, we as a club will benefit wholesale from it.
Dermot, always nice to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
No problem, Damien. Thank you.
Dermot O'Sullivan chatting to us there. Your views to 51551. We're going to chat about the football weekend, which lies ahead. The 2013 Allianz National Football League gets underway tomorrow night. We'll chat to Brian Carthy in a moment. But first, join the studio by former Dublin captain Colly Moran. We could have the argument that goes on every year about how relevant the league is and how serious managers are going to take it. But if you just have a quick look through some of the teams as named for this weekend, is there a changing face to how much of a priority the league seems to be?
Absolutely, and I suppose when you look at Division 1, it's going to be very competitive. This is probably the first time I can remember where you'd say probably the best 8 teams in the country are all in Division 1, so it's going to be as interesting to see who gets relegated from that division as who tops it. But, you know, Donegal have named a team with, I think, 13 of last year's All-Ireland final winning team in the starting lineup. It remains to be seen if they stick to that. And Cork as well, very strong team, named for the first day of the season. Yeah, so it's a big change.
And obviously, there are so many situations of new managers across the country, and I know you'll be at Croke Park tomorrow evening. An interesting take from Jim Gavin, and I suppose all eyes will be on what his Dublin is going to be like against Cork.
Yeah, well, the Dublin team selection is very interesting as well, because obviously Jim was the manager of 2 All-Ireland under-21 winning teams, so I thought we'd see a lot more of those guys in. Okay, there's a few change in names, new guys coming into the team, but you look at Declan O'Mahony in midfield and Paddy Andrews at number 11, both of them have been in or around Dublin teams over the last few years, so it's more these type of guys that are in a starting team than, okay, I know there's 3 debutants, Kevin O'Brien, Jack McCaffrey and Paddy Quinn, a native of Tyrone. But it is an interesting lineup, but a strong team as well.
But in a situation like that, do Dublin fans need to take cognizance of the fact that it's going to take Jim Gavin a bit of time to see what's there? You're smirking already, because Dublin fans probably won't give him the opportunity if they're, you know, if they expect success from day one, don't they?
Yeah, I don't think they will be too patient. And, you know, it's only 16 months since Dublin were All-Ireland champions, and that was with a very young team, you know, that Pat Gilroy had built. So I don't think they need wholesale surgery. I think I know they've got a lot of a very deep squad at the moment, but it's about quality, I think, rather than quantity. They need to find two or three maybe players. They need a midfielder. Ross McConnell and Eamon Fennell are gone from the squad, so maybe this is a big chance for Declan O'Mahony, and maybe a couple of other players. You know, Kieran Kilkenny coming back from Oz is a big lift for them. But no, I don't think Dublin team fans will be too patient. I know they kind of took the semi-final defeat to Mayo on the chin last year, knowing that you can't probably do back-to-back All-Irelands, but I think they'll be hungry for more silverware this year.
Well, let's talk about the All-Ireland champions. A much shorter period of time, Brian Carthy, since Donegal departed Dublin with Sam Maguire on the team bus. There'll be plenty of focus on them over the course of the year, but maybe more so on Kildare and Kieran McGeaney's tenure. People will want more silverware.
I'd agree with that, but the All-Ireland champions, Damien, as you know, can be a little brittle and ring rusty in February, and Donegal, as we know, have celebrated long and hard since beating Mayo in the All-Ireland final. Kildare might be just sharper at this juncture, but Donegal selector Rory Gallagher was telling me during the week that all celebrations came to a halt at the end of December. Donegal will be well prepared, make no mistake. Carl Lacey and Neil Gallagher are out injured, but otherwise Jim McGuinness has a strong hand. Kildare, newly promoted, and exceptionally strong and experienced team. Former Cavan player Shawnee Johnston will start in the full forward line alongside Johnny Doyle and Tomás O'Connor. And we all remember one of the most outstanding games of recent times was the 2011 All-Ireland quarter-final when Donegal beat Kildare by a point after extra time. It did wonders for Donegal. So Kildare tomorrow will be very determined to win.
Collie, what's going to be particularly interesting is the recruitment of Jason Ryan to work as part of the backroom staff and his supposed influence on the forwards with Kildare. Again, people will be focused on that to see what impact that's had.
Yeah, great move by Kieran McGeaney. Jason is a great coach. I worked with him. He was coach with Val Andrews and the Leinster team a couple of years ago, and he's just great to work with on the pitch. Lots of great ideas, very modern in his thinking. And I suppose Kieran McGeaney knew he couldn't come back this year and just, you know, keep things the same. They needed something new to give them a lift, and bringing in someone of Jason's quality is a real plus for Kildare. I think Kildare fans will really be looking forward to this season. As Brian said, a full forward line with Shawnee Johnson, Tomás O'Connor and John Doyle is a great one. And I suppose particularly Shawnee Johnson. Last year there was so much negative media publicity that kind of hung like a cloud over Kildare last year. I think they'll be really looking forward to the new season.
Brian, there's plenty of tasty fixtures across all four divisions at the weekend. No less if we stay with Division 1, the meeting of Mayo and Kerry in Castlebar on Sunday afternoon.
It should bring a big crowd to Castlebar. Kerry have had the measure of Mayo at championship level. Indeed, they've shattered Mayo's dreams on many occasions on big match days. Mayo lost, remember, to Cork in last year's Allianz League final and lost to Donegal in the All-Ireland final. So the talent is there. Kerry as well head the league roll of honour, 19 titles. Their last success was in 2009. What better way to start the year, if you like, than to get a good victory with Eamon Fitzmaurice in his first big game in charge. Mayo in second position with 11 titles in the league. Their last league title was in 2001. What's very evident, Collie referred to it a short time ago and you did yourself, they're putting out very strong teams for the start of the Allianz League. Based on experience, do well in the league and success could come in the championship as well.
And Brian, just to get your views as well, the competitive fire still burn strong for Mickey Hart and Tyrone, and you know, that Ulster derby against Down on Saturday evening, there'll be plenty of deserved focus on that as well.
Certainly, Newry tomorrow night. I liked what I saw of Down in the McKenna Cup. I saw them in two games. As always, Down have plenty of fast and skillful forwards. They can struggle defensively at times, but Aidan Carr was a top-class player. He's now at centre-half-back. If they can get enough quality early ball into their inside forwards, then they'll test any defence. Tyrone won the McKenna Cup. Sean Cavan and Stephen O'Neill played exceptionally well in the competition. Both are in the Tyrone team tomorrow night. Conor Gormley, Joe McMahon, Peter Hart will also provide experience. And the young goalkeeper, Niall Morgan, will make his debut.
Very briefly, Collie, before we let you go, is there anyone else, any team that you're particularly looking forward to? Is it possible to pick out one across the other divisions, or who your focus will be on for the rest of the year?
Yeah, it's hard to know. I suppose when you look at Division 2, I'd be looking maybe Armagh to come out there. You know, they were relegated last year. I suppose watching in Division 3, Fermanagh under Peter Canavan again, can they advance? They got promoted last year, and I suppose the Royals as well to see can they get back up into Division 2. A big disappointment for them being in Division 3. So they're some of the ones I'll be keeping an eye on this
Plenty
year.
To enjoy. It all starts this weekend. Coverage on Saturday and Sunday Sport, and obviously highlights as well on television. Colly Moran in studio, thank you very much for your time as always, and to Brian Carthy as well. One text in on the Cork situation. Would like to hear Cork management speak on what's going on with Donal Logue. Not just a goalkeeping legend, but groundbreaking and brave in life too. Not willing to write him off just yet. Third best in Cork, not a chance. 51551 is our text number. Just want to bring you details of a competition running across RTE Sport to mark the return of live RBS Six Nations coverage on RTE2 television, on Radio 1 and on RTE.ie. We've teamed up with Dove Men Plus Care, official partner to the IRFU, to give you the chance to win VIP tickets for you and 11 friends to attend the Ireland versus England RBS Six Nations clash in the Aviva Stadium on February 10th. You'll watch all the action from the best seats in the house with your very own corporate box, plus €500 spending money for the winner as well. For your chance to win, you need to answer this question. True or false, Ireland won the RBS Six Nations Championship in 2009. Is that true or false? To enter, text the word NATIONS, N-A-T-I-O-N-S, followed by your answer and name to 57001. Viewers in the north can also text to 57001. Each text entry costs €1.50 or £1.20 sterling. Lines will close at midday on Monday, February 4th. Further details on RTE Airtel page 195, where the winner will also be announced. We're going to chat racing next on the programme. Liam, good evening to you.
Damien.
Liam Nash joining us from Cork. Ferry House abandoned tomorrow, which means Punchestown has the stage to itself. Sunday, again, we're a great weekend of racing look forward to. And the Moscow Flyer hurdle is the best race on the card for us.
Well, to me, that's the standout race. And the three that dominate the betting, I think, will dominate the race. Don Cossack, Mazeltov and Ned Buntline. Don Cossack was a brilliant bumper horse, and we were all waiting for his debut over hurdles. He didn't disappoint. He beat a very good yardstick sizing goal by about 10 lengths or something, and then he came and was taken on by a Willie Mullins newcomer that cost a lot of money from France, and he destroyed Don Cossack. I know Don Cossack fell at the last, but he was well beaten at the time. But what a horse beat him. It was Pont Alexandre, and any one of us who were at Leopardstown last Sunday saw the brilliance of that horse, and surely he is a Cheltenham banker going forward from here. But Mazeltov from the Willie Mullins stable, he was a very good bumper horse. He was taught the Champagne Fever in the Punchestown bumper. And Ned Buntline, a lot of talk about this fella. He beat a horse called Urano at Leopardstown, but Urano didn't do much for the farm last Sunday at Leopardstown. He was second in an ordinary race. I take Don Cossack to come back to form. I think the return to 2 miles might suit him, and I still won't write off this horse. I think he has the potential to be a brilliant hurdler.
In the Tide Cottage Chase, is it possible to look past Sizing Europe?
Well, no, in one word, even though I heard somebody on one of the racing channels this afternoon saying it was a penalty kick. Well, I hate that sort of flippancy about a horse race over 10 fences or whatever it is in the present ground. But to any one of us that you are, to anyone that looks at the farm at all, there can be only one result if he stands up and runs to his normal standard.
Okay, aside from that, if we look across the rest of the card, it's a good weekend, good opportunity for us to look at our cross-country hopes.
Well, we have traditionally had the best of the cross-country races when we go to Cheltenham, and we have a very strong team normally. And we have the likes of Uncle Junior and Sizing Australia, Arabella Boy, Boston's Angel. Sure, the four of those could dominate the cross-country at Cheltenham come March as well. They all run on Sunday. That, to me, looks a smashing race. The Dan Moore has been transferred to Punchestown on Sunday. Lambro and Alderwood, I think, are the two standout ones there. And we have the National Grand National Trial. I'm very interested in a horse here called Vesper Bell. He's only just novice really, but he tops the weights there. I think the handicapper hasn't taken any chances with him. I think he's giving him plenty weight, but he's a horse I'll keep a close watch on, because just to my way of thinking, he's a horse that might turn up in the 4 miler at Cheltenham. If he does, I'd be very interested, because I think he's a real stayer.
Okay, that's home covered. Not an awful lot by the usual standards to enjoy across the water. Where should we be looking?
Well, there, Sandown has a meeting that isn't as strong as traditional Sandown meetings go. There's a very good novice chase there, and I think Captain Conan will win that. I think if he was in any other stable, you'd be fancying for the Arkle, but they have Simon Sieg as well. I think he'll win that. And the Welsh champion hurdle, I think the top weight, Oscar Adara, even though he has got a penalty, I think he'll take a bit of beating there.
OK, and win us a couple of quid for the weekend with a few tips, if you would.
Well, the standout bet for me is Colbert Station in the handicap hurdle on Sunday. He won the Paddy Power chase at Christmas off a mark of 132. He's up to the middle 140s over fences, and he runs off a mark of 119 on Sunday. That, to me, suggests a well-handicapped horse. Okay. He's in good form, and he's the standout one, but I think another one that might win, and also ridden by Mackay on Sunday, Byerly Babe, I think might get the better of the favourite Upazo in the first.
Liam, you've been with us since week one of this programme. You're going to pack your bag. You're going to come to 2FM with us next week onwards.
Yes, I've started on the road already.
Good stuff. We look forward to that. Liam Nash joining us there. Before we finish this evening, Ireland and Davis Cup action against Estonia. Let's go to Riverview for details. John O'Donovan.
Yes, Damien. Sam Barry's just taken a close first set, 6-3. He's playing great tennis against a player ranked 150 places ahead of him in the world, Vladimir Ivanov. Tight first set with great intensity and great tennis featuring some long rallies. Both players returned exceptionally well, 5 breaks of serve in 9 games. Barry's first ever home tie got off to a great start, leading 3-love before Ivanov came back into it. But Barry raised his level again and took the set 6-3. Ireland, of course, already 1-0 up after James McGee comfortably beat Jan Kononov 6-love, 6-1, 6-3 in the first match.
So we bid farewell to Sport at 7 here on RTE Radio 1. From Monday evening, 7 o'clock, you'll find us on RTE 2FM. Game On, our brand new programme, 90 to 92 on the dial. Live Champions League soccer, live Rabo Direct, and what you've come to expect, the best in news and analysis from the sporting world. We'll chat to you then. Carolyn Dempsey was our broadcast coordinator tonight. Dave Gibson was on sound while John Farrell produced. I'll chat to you Monday on 2FM at 7. But for the final time from me, it's time to hand over to Arena. And good evening to Sean Rocks.